Hayden, you are not going to believe you picked the perfect day to be here today because I am playing a Kobe Bryant video. Can you believe that? Church, have I ever played a Kobe Bryant video before? Never. What are the odds of that? All right, let's go to the scripture. Oh. Jacob apparently is excited about that Kobe Bryant video, too. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look," I should have used New King James or something. "Behold," I like. "Behold" is what a lot of the older translations say. "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man, one is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me," this is a quote from God who has told John, "the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." And may God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Has anybody ever been to a concert where they've had like a real big introduction? I mean, you'd go like... Pam, you're shaking your head. Who can you think of? Elvis Presley. Wow. You're old. You know, I remember my neighbor, because I was just a kid. What year did Elvis die? Do you know? It was 86. It was the same year Diane and I got married. Oh, what? Oh, that's right. He died on August 16th. Never mind. 1977. So I would have been 15 years old. Little bit older than Hayden there, who's 13. How old are you, Jacob? 14. So a year older than Jacob. I remember my neighbor had a little piece of carpet. She had been to an Elvis concert. And she, Elvis's limo, she actually went, this is how crazy the Elvis people were. She actually went up to that limo and cut a piece of carpet out of the limo. And she brought it home to show everybody that she had a piece of carpet out of Elvis's limo. So, pretty big introduction for Elvis, I can imagine. Who? Anybody else think of anybody? Paul McCartney. Pretty big introduction for Paul McCartney, huh? Yeah. Well, I remember Reba. We saw Reba, and she came in to the Wheeling Civic Center on an airplane. That was pretty big. She sang the song Fancy. And they had this, like the stage went all the way through, and from back in behind where you couldn't see, an airplane actually pulled out and they introduced Reba. And I remember Alabama, they had this video, big screen of the guys. And so you're waiting for the Alabama concert to start, and they have these guys walking. So they show the four guys from Alabama. They're walking out of their dressing room, and it's not as spectacular now because, like with the NFL and stuff, you know, you've got the cameras. But back then, it was really unheard of. And so there's a cameraman walking right in front of the guys backwards, and they're walking and walking and walking. And then finally... like they're coming right up to the screen, and then the screen had slits in it, and they walked right through the screen. It was pretty cool. I'm thinking about a fine introduction. And John the Baptist is out in the wilderness, and we can't comprehend what this is like. But if you can think of what's the most desolate place around here? If you can think of the most desolate place around here, that's where John the Baptist was. And everybody's coming out to see John the Baptist. John the Baptist is sent to by God to proclaim Jesus. Of course, Jesus is probably about 30 years old at this time. And we don't really know much about the first 30 years of Jesus' life. We don't know much about it at all. But this is a coming out party for Jesus. And so John the Baptist says, "Behold," and I looked up "behold." Behold, it's to see or observe, especially a thing or a person, and especially one that is remarkable or impressive. So look doesn't do it justice. Look. Our food's here. No. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so John points out Jesus. It's so difficult for us to comprehend what John is saying about Jesus. I was listening just this morning to a John Piper sermon on "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." And Piper was remarking about Leviticus. Chapter 4, starting with verse 32. Listen to this. This is about this is Leviticus, this is Old Testament, and this is about getting back on right terms with God. "If he brings a lamb," so this is any sinner, "if he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish. Then he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill it as a sin offering at the place where they kill the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar." Oh, you know, I really messed this up this morning. Now it just doesn't seem right playing a Kobe video, but now I have to. Sometimes I have videos up here to play and I forget, but I've already promised it. As I'm talking about introductions, I wanted to introduce two little clips about introductions. And since I promised Hayden I would play Kobe Bryant, first play Kobe. This isn't, you have to turn it up. This is in Philadelphia. Cobra's
for the Los Angeles Lakers.
And this is his last trip to Philadelphia.
Now tonight's starters, a 6'5 guard from Ohio State, number 1, D'Angelo Russell. A 6'5 guard from Missouri, number 6, Jordan Clarkson. A 7'2 center from Georgetown, number 17, Roy Hibbert. A 6'9 forward from Kentucky, number 30, Julius Randle. And a 17-time NBA All-Star, the third highest scorer in NBA history, the 2008 MVP, two-time NBA Finals MVP, five-time NBA champion, a 6'6 guard from Lower Merion High School, where he won the title in 1996, number 24, Kobe Bryant. Thank you.
Okay. I also have Ed Sullivan and the Beatles, but I'm not going to do that one. We can't comprehend what an introduction. I mean, what's John the Baptist supposed to say? I mean, what can you say? No matter what you say, like that announcer for Kobe Bryant, he was doing the best he could to let you know how excited he was to introduce Kobe Bryant. And then the funniest thing is, Kobe Bryant, at the start of the game, he hit 3 3-pointers in a row to start that game. So he did not disappoint. The announcers, the game starts, and the announcers are saying, Kobe isn't having his best year this year. And as they're saying that, Kobe has made two of his first 3 3-pointers of the game. He did not disappoint. So it's impossible for us. Like, you can introduce Jesus, right? You introduce Jesus when you're talking to heart patients. How do you do it? I guess it'd be different for every person, huh? John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And so I'm going to this Leviticus scripture so that you can comprehend what the people of that day are hearing. So they're thinking when they're hearing the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, they're thinking Leviticus. They're thinking, because they know this. You know, we don't really know the Bible. I mean, even me as a preacher, we don't really know the Bible like the Israelites knew the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. And so they wouldn't have to go home and look it up and see what John was talking about. They would know. When John says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," they would have known exactly what John was talking about. They would have thought back to Leviticus, and they would have thought about this perfect lamb who had done nothing wrong and being slaughtered so that the people could be forgiven. And so they're hearing the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and they're thinking about that. A perfect lamb. And so when they turn, like they're hearing the introduction, the people who are here, like when you were at the Elvis concert and you heard and you knew and they were introducing Elvis, you sort of had an idea what to expect. And same with anybody who's Paul McCartney. You expected Paul McCartney. They're hearing Lamb of God, and they don't know what to think. And they turn, and here walks a guy. And John says, God told me that this is the one who is going to take away the sins of the world. We know the rest of the story now. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was crucified on the cross, dead, risen, dead, buried, risen from the dead, and he has the ability to take away the sins of the world. But what we must not mistake is that he takes away the sins of those. See, when they took the lamb, they were making a conscious decision to take the lamb, sacrifice the lamb on the altar, and to have their sins forgiven. If you had a lamb and you didn't take it to be sacrificed, then were your sins forgiven? No. And when we don't know why, John Piper, he thinks that all that was just a foreshadowing of Jesus. Your sins, I've done a lot of funerals in my 8.5 years as being a pastor. And I never preach anybody into heaven, and I never preach anybody into hell. It is what it is. When you die, there's a period on your life. The end. Period. Here. And then you go and stand before the God who created you. I mean, that's what Scripture tells us. That's what I believe. And what a sad thing. Have you ever bought anybody a Christmas gift and then lost it? Seriously. Let me see a show of hands so it doesn't make me feel so stupid. Okay. When Matt went to college, I bought Diane a sweatshirt with the college name on it. And that was in August. And then at Christmas time, I couldn't find it. And that was before we moved here. And couldn't find it. And I never found it. But I thought, well, when we move, I mean, that was one of the best things to me about moving, is I thought, I'm going to find that sweater or sweatshirt. Never found it. Never found it. I don't ever know what happened to it. Could be in one of the 600 boxes over there that we still haven't unpacked that belong to the boys. No, it's not in there, she said. How sad is it when there's a gift that doesn't get given or doesn't get received? Isn't that sad? Man, Diane, she saw this in the bookstore at the university, and she said, oh, that's so nice, but she said, it's just too expensive. And I thought, man, what a great Christmas gift, huh? And then I bought it, and I never got to give it, and she never got to receive it. But she knows that I... Now she's probably thinking, I don't really know if you ever bought it. That just occurred to me. That I wonder if that's ever... If she's ever thought about that. I could show her my credit card statement. Now I'm going to have to get out my credit card statement from 5 years ago. Jesus is a gift. Behold the Lamb of God who can take away your sins. Your sins aren't taken away if you don't receive the gift. So that's the question that I have for you today. Have you received the gift? The Lamb of God who can take away your sins. Sometimes we get to thinking, I should be writing down some of these illustrations that God's given me right now for 11 o'clock. Sometimes, you know, when Diane's mom's going, we were married for a couple years, and she's going, hey, when you can have kids? And we're going, when we can afford it. And what's she say? You can never afford it. You just have to have them anyhow. She's right. We couldn't afford it. We still can't. Amen, Diane says. But we had them, and it worked out. Sometimes people have this idea that I better not come to God yet because I'm not presentable. Has anyone ever had a house cleaner come to their house and you clean up the house before the house cleaner comes? Okay. Because you don't want the house cleaner to see your house like this. Cindy's really into this now. That's how we feel about Jesus sometimes. We got to get this squared away before we invite him in. And I love one thing I saw one time. It said, be fishers of men. You catch him and he'll clean them. You don't have enough money for a kid to have a kid. You don't have enough money, and you're never going to have enough money. With Jesus, we invite him in, and then he starts working. Then he starts. I like to tell people, and since there's someone here who hasn't heard it before, I like to tell people, when I first got saved, I used to go to the bar every Friday and Saturday night. And when I first got saved, I thought, man, I just can't go on Saturday night because I can't get up on Sunday mornings. And so I just went to the bar on Friday night. It's true. Because I didn't want to go on Saturday night because I'd stay out too late and then I wouldn't get up for church on Sunday morning. And so, and I was good with that. I got saved, and I quit going out on Saturday nights and just went out on Friday nights. And then after a while, the Lord went, and I said, yes. And he said, maybe you should quit going out on Friday nights too, at least without your wife. Or, and I said, yeah, I think I... And it's not even like at that point that you're going, oh, God, you're no fun. You say, you know, I think that's right, and that's what I want to do. And then these things get replaced with, like, it's so much fun going to the mission now. It's so much fun going on mission trips. You know, gosh, I got to quit talking. Oh, I don't know, it's only quarter after. Friday... Was it Friday? I think it was Friday. I'm the one thing, if you guys keep coming to church here, the one thing you'll find out is I tell you things. I mean, I really, you guys are like my priest, and I'm like making confessions. Because Friday, I'm in my office. The front door is locked. The front door always stays locked, but the side door is open. And anybody who comes to the church who doesn't know their way around, they always check the front door. And then they'll get in their car and they'll leave. And there was a woman here Friday who... Now remember, if I forget why I started telling you this, it's because filling me with joy, being fun, replacing the things I shouldn't be doing with the things I should be doing. Okay, that's why I started telling you this. And this woman walks up and she tries the door and it's locked. And I know what's going to happen. She's going to get in her car and she's going to leave. And I'm sitting in my office and I'm going, oh, I really don't want to deal with this today. I know she wants something. And then I go in the bathroom, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I mean, okay, I know what I have to do. And so I go out, and I go outside, and I say to the woman, can I help you with something? And she said, I was down at the little store here on the corner, and the people told me that that this church might help me to come to this church. And I need $80 for a prescription because my husband has a chemo prescription at the pharmacy, and I don't have the $80. And I said, well, I can't really give you $80, but here's what I can do. I'm going to drop off food at the schools to send home with backpacks, in kids' backpacks. I got to go drop those off. And so, where's the prescription? She said, Rite Aid on Virginia Avenue. And I said, okay. This was 10 o'clock. I said, I'll meet you in there at 11:15, and we'll get your prescription. And she said, I'll be there at 11 o'clock. And I said, okay, but I'll be there at 11:15. Well, I got there at 11 o'clock, too. But except I beat her there. And she didn't get there at 11 o'clock. And then it was 11:15 and she wasn't there yet. And then it was 11:30 and I see Robin and David Hall. I'm just standing out in the grass in the middle of the parking lot at the Rite Aid on Virginia Avenue. And I see Robin and David Hall and they say, you need a ride? I said, nope, I'm waiting for somebody. And I stayed for 35 minutes and 11:35 I left. And I can only assume that the person just wanted $80. But as I'm driving down 28 and I go up to the middle school, drop off the backpack stuff, and then I'm driving, I'm thinking, I just need to stop and pull off the side of the road and post on Facebook how much I love my job. Because I'm delivering food to kids, 58 kids. 58 kids to take home this weekend so they'll have stuff to snack on and won't be deprived. And then I'm going to pay $80 for a prescription for a woman whose husband can't get his prescription for chemo. And then I'm going to Walmart from here to send $5,000 to Haiti. What a day! You see how God takes these bad habits that I used to have and He gives me more joy than anything's ever given me. And then once in a while He reminds me, it ain't all peaches and cream. As I stand 35 minutes at Rite Aid, but that is what it is. And when I first got saved, I never would have imagined what God would have done. I mean, I believed that He took away my sins. Even the ones I kept committing, He took them away. But He just keeps working on you, and He keeps working on you, and He keeps working on you. John the Baptist said at another place in the Bible, I want more of Him and less of me. Every day, my goal is to have a little more of Him in here and a little less of me in here. And I think about that line all the time. And it seems like sometimes it's one step forward and two steps back. But when I look back over the years, I'm not who I once was. And when I think about the years to come, I know I'm not yet who I'm going to be. Behold the Lamb of God who can take away your sins. It's who I speak for today. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we're going to celebrate in a couple weeks. Less than 2 weeks. And whose death on the cross and resurrection from the dead defeated death for all those who would claim Him. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that for those of us who are here today who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray that You have announced to us salvation today, and that we would accept that gift of salvation. Heavenly Father, I admit that I have not loved You, and I have not given my life to You, and I want to do that today, and I want my sins forgiven. I thank You for being faithful to forgive my sins if I but ask, and I'm asking. Forgive me, and day by day, create in me a new person. And for those of us, Lord, who would call You ours, and You would call us Yours, I pray that You would help us day by day not to be saved again every day, because we're only saved once, but to be renewed day by day, to remember day by day what Christ has done for us, and day by day, as we continue to live for Him, people see in us day by day a little more of Him and a little more less of our human fleshly being. We give You thanks and praise for that opportunity every day. We thank You for Your Son and His gift. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.